Hi, my name is Solange Muller, and I have been working in the public health field since I graduated from the University of Michigan in 1979. And today's session is called Improving Access to Healthcare for Immigrants and Lessons Learned Through Research and Practice. And I want to thank Dr. Schmidt for being here with me today. I also really want to thank the immigrants who we interviewed in our research in order to get the findings that I'm going to share with you today. I have no disclosures to make except that I'm PowerPoint disabled. Now, this was the first PowerPoint that I made because when I went to public health school, there were no computers. There were huge mainframes with little cards with holes in them. So I've worked in Dutchess County for the last 24 years, primarily as a manager with community health centers, and Dr. Schmidt was working in Dutchess County as a surgeon. And we noticed that the foreign-born population was increasing in our county in New York. And in spite of this, we found that the immigrant population wasn't really going for care in the way that we thought they would be going for care. In addition, in 2007, New York Medical College did a 7-county, 12-community survey on the barriers facing immigrants in terms of accessing health care, and they found that it was language, transportation, and cost, and they recommended further study. So we took on the challenge, Dr. Schmidt and I, and we called ourselves the Immigrant Health Initiative. Then we went to the Dutchess County Department of Health and asked for their collaboration, and they granted us Audrey Waltner, who is an epidemiologist biostatistician. We got some funding from three funders. The project cost was $6,500, and we had a collaborator in terms of an immigrant rights organization called Somos la Llave del Futuro. Our goals were to collect current data on the health status of recent immigrants, to examine what were the barriers impacting access to care, and to also develop new interventions to address the existing barriers. So our study design, we had hoped to interview 400 immigrants in rural Eastern Dutchess County and urban city of Poughkeepsie. Our target population was 18-year-olds who had been in the United States less than 10 years. We did a 100-question survey in Spanish. We had 10 versions of the survey, and we were ready to interview in August of 2009. We field tested it, and then we did targeted recruitment of immigrants. I personally did many of the surveys, and we had two Vassar students working with us. The surveys took approximately 30 minutes. They were face-to-face, and we had to often travel far into the rural areas, onto farms, into homes, to access the immigrants. It was a lot more difficult than we had anticipated. So we interviewed a total of 290 immigrants, and 141 were in the rural area, which is Eastern Dutchess, and 149 in the urban area. I think for us the most important finding is that 81% were willing to share their documentation status. And that means that the information that we gathered is really on the most vulnerable, underserved population in our community and in Dutchess County. Most of them are Hispanic, Latino, mean age 33, approximately the same male, female. Region of origin, in our urban area, the city of Poughkeepsie, the majority are from Mexico, and particularly one community called Oaxaca. And in the rural area, Eastern Dutchess, most of them were from Central America, and the majority from Guatemala. And it was fascinating in the interviews when we asked them if they spoke any indigenous languages, because I had worked and lived in Guatemala, they opened up. You know about Kekchi, you know about Mam. So it was a wonderful experience in interviewing them. The South Americans are primarily from Ecuador. These were the first two immigrants I interviewed. And in the process of interviewing the immigrants, they shared their dreams and their hopes, and most of them spoke about their desire to come to this country in order to help alleviate the economic stress and burdens of their families left behind. But often what this meant was tearing apart their families. And in the process of doing the interviews, they felt that their voices were heard and their needs were heard. And you can read the quote yourself. So they made perilous journeys, leaving their homelands, and they ended up in Dutchess County, New York. So some of the socioeconomic characteristics is that half of them have been in the United States at the time of the study for 1 to 5 years, or 6 to 10 years. We are seeing less of an immigration in the past 3 years since we did the study. They came to the U.S. alone, but they knew somebody on arrival, which is why they ended up in their particular community. Most of them are employed on farms, in restaurants, domestic work, similar to most immigrants in our country. Most live with somebody and have children under the age of 18. So what do they do in terms of seeking health care? In the rural area, over 20% had absolutely no visits, had never been for health care. And the 50%, both in the rural and urban area, go only when they're sick. And in the city, Poughkeepsie, we see 40% accessing care for both preventive and sick. Where do they go for health care? We are very, very fortunate in Dutchess County to have 6 community health centers. That is where I am employed. I work with the community health centers. I've worked there for 24 years in Dutchess County. So Hudson River Healthcare Community Health Centers are the safety net provider, and the immigrants do go. We also looked at how they accessed health care in country of origin, and they tended to go to health clinics or hospital-based clinics. So that is some of the reason why you also see half of them reporting that they use the emergency room in the city, because that's typically where they go for health care, especially in Mexico. They just go to the public hospital, sit there, wait, and wait to be seen. So we found that our males, almost 30%, never go to the doctor, and females, over 40%, go for sick and well care. And the reason being is that in New York, we have Medicaid. And Medicaid for pregnant women doesn't require documentation status. So it really is the gateway into health care. And at that point, when we get the woman in health care, she continues even when she's not pregnant. So Medicaid is doing a fabulous thing in terms of getting women into health care. And also, now what we're doing is when the men come in with their wives for their prenatal visits, I speak to them and say, are you engaged in health care? Are you coming for health care? It might be important for you to have a checkup. Our sliding scale goes to $15. It's not expensive. So our findings were that females were much more likely to engage in preventive health or routine health care visits than males, and the rate of never going to the doctor was much higher among males than females. So in general, females were more 8.7 times more likely than the men to go for any kind of healthcare services. Other factors were residents in the United States being over 5 years and having children. In New York, we have Child Health Plus. So 94% of the children of the immigrants, whether they were born in the United States or not, are covered by health insurance. So that also is an entryway for the families into healthcare. Some of the barriers are transportation in the rural area and in general also getting time off from work and the lack of evening hours. But in our study, speaking English was not a significant factor in seeking health care. However, they were twice as likely to engage in preventive care. Language was more important in the rural area. The immigrants traveled further to find Spanish-speaking doctors at one of our community health centers where they do speak Spanish. We also have medical interpreters at all our community health centers in Dutchess County. We asked them what were their health problems in country of origin and then in the United States, and the one that I really want to point out is that there was a twofold increase in depression. This is self-reported depression, from 9.7% to 18.3%. We also asked them about the use of herbal treatments. Two-thirds of them used herbal treatments and remedies in country of origin, and one-third, over a third, continued to use them here in the United States. But over half of the ones using herbal remedies in the United States never told their doctor. Why? A, number one point, doctor does not ask. One of the most significant findings for us in terms of meaning was that 81% of the immigrants interviewed have feelings of sadness and depression, missing family, feeling alone. One woman described that her life is like living in a room that's completely closed with no exit, feeling unwelcomed, unwanted, issues with housing, cost of housing, problems with the partner. So what happened afterwards? This is where we went into practice. We didn't want to do research just to do research, to not do something. I work in community health centers. I'm an advocate for immigrants. So the Foundation for Community Health brought me and Catholic Charities together and said, let's do some work in the community in Eastern Dutchess, which is called Kinship Circles of Support. So the objective of the Kinship Circles of Support is to improve the health of immigrant families, in particular women, based on our finding that women were the gateway into healthcare for the entire family. And two, that these groups will connect individuals and families to their local communities to ease the stress and loss of family from their homeland. And I just want to read something from one of the immigrants. So this is me working with one of the groups, and one of the participants said, the group has helped me with knowledge on health and nutrition and the rights of immigrants, and I have continued for 3 years because it enriches my learning. Another woman stated, it brings us women from 5 different countries together, and we have so much in common. So what we discussed in our topics when I would go to all their meetings, and now we have 3 groups of kinship circles of support, was the importance of accessing health care for the entire family and the role that women play in that. As a nutritionist, I did sessions on nutrition and healthy eating and how that can prevent chronic diseases. We also did stress reduction techniques through repetitive prayer, the importance of meditation and exercise, and the final objective is to really help them incorporate lifestyle changes. We did a questionnaire at the beginning of 2012 and at the end of 1 year of the program. And the purpose was to see the change in knowledge, health-seeking behaviors, and lifestyle. And I have data on 12 subjects. The impact was that their knowledge really did increase on diabetes, hypertension, cholesterol, and depression. 100% or all 12 were able to really explain what is diabetes and what is depression. Those were the two that they really understood. They all had a preventive health exam in 2012, and they all got their spouses to go, which to me was very important because males typically do not go for health care in this population. They changed their food and beverage choices, they reduced their intake of carbs, fats, and all of them eliminated soda, which as a nutritionist, that was a real success. 6 of them had a normal BMI versus 1 at the beginning of the program. And they really developed supportive relationships and shared experiences. All of them reported less sadness, but the same amount of economic worries. They learned the value of prayer, friendship, and exercise. So the kinship circles of support really succeeded in healthcare involvement for the entire family of immigrants in the area we worked in. And the sharing among the participants really led to connections, support, and minimizing the feelings of loss and isolation. And that's truly necessary for this population. And the involvement also empowered them to be leaders. They're helping others in their community access health care and find out about other resources that they might need to feel part of this new society. Some quotes. This group helps me feel less isolated. We have become friends outside the meetings and we talk. It is like having neighbors, as I did in my country. Coming to this group helps me feel less alone. It helps me desestresarme, or reduce my stress. When I had stress because of my family in Honduras, this group provided support. I want to be a community leader, but I am shy. English and time are issues. I want more knowledge on rights in order to help my people. So after 2 years of being involved with this program, the immigrants and the women have identified that they really want leadership training as the next step. So instead of knowledge about nutrition, health, and resources, they want to be leaders, and that is a fantastic thing. So we're going to continue getting funding from the Foundation for Community Health and really empower them to be leaders in order to address the issues that we identified in our survey, our research. So just a personal thing, the research and practice has really transformed the way I provide care as a nutritionist. I do not tell them what to eat, when to eat it. I really listen. And what I've learned from this research is the importance of listening deeply to what our patients and what our immigrants need, because they know. They know if what will help alleviate their sadness is going to church. I had a patient who has diabetes, elevated cholesterol, hypertension, and I looked at him and I said, I don't think you want to talk about food today. And he said, no. And I said, what is going on? And he said, I just don't feel right about being here. In my country, in my community, I was somebody. Everybody knew me. I've been here 2 months and nobody knows me. I don't even have money in my pocket because I can't work. So this was a man who felt so good in his homeland and felt so sad here. And so I said, what do you need? What would make you feel better? And he said, I need to go to church and pray. So we found him a church to go to, and that evening there was a Spanish-speaking prayer group. The next morning I called him up because I was truly worried about his state, and he said, I feel so much better. So what I've learned from the research and the practice with the circles of support is to really listen to our patients, to our immigrants, because they do know what they need, and we can help them access those resources or support if we ourselves can't provide it in the privacy of a patient visit. Thank you very much, and these are just some references and permissions. We have some handouts, and if you have questions about the study, I'll also invite Dr. Schmidt to answer questions.